You have been blessed by the ministry of Apostle Solomon Buckley and Fresh Wind International. Please consider supporting us by going to Cash App, $Prophet Solomon B. Again, that is $Prophet Solomon B. Also, if you would like to have a testimony, you could send us an email at freshwindinternational@gmail.com. If you would like to schedule for a personal prophetic ministry and prayer, you can also email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. God bless you. I'm going to talk about how to defeat temptation. And so the name of our message today is how to defeat temptation. But the subtitle of our message today is called The Devil Knows Your Address.
All right.
The Devil Knows Your Address. So I brought some little cards today. The Devil Knows Your Address.
All right.
And I wrote out the address of the church. And the devil was up here at the top. I'm not glorifying the devil, but, you know, get the point. And on the back, it has something on here that is a temptation.
All right.
Of some sort. A temptation. And so I didn't have enough cards to make up for everybody. So each row is going to share a card.
All right.
So you have that one. Don't turn it over yet. Don't turn it over yet. Each row is going to have their own card. Since you got your own row. So the devil knows your address. And I have a card. So how to defeat temptation? Many Christians are surprised that they are still being tempted after they've gotten saved.
All right.
How many have been tempted by the enemy? Raise your hand. Oh, there's only two of us that have been tempted. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But temptation itself, it's not sin. It only becomes sin when we yield to it. When one receives Jesus Christ as Savior, that person becomes a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So, when one receives Christ, that person becomes a new creature. He becomes a brand new person on the inside. But that new person is created in righteousness and in holiness. If we go to Ephesians 4:24. I'm going to go pretty fast. If you want to, you can get the replay because it is being recorded. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4:24. The new person is created in righteousness and in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are created in what? Righteousness. That means right standing with God. And holiness, which is passion for Jesus.
Yes.
Obedience, obeying God. Obeying God. Holiness. Sanctification, separation, separating yourself unto the Lord for his purposes and for his use. That's what holiness is. But as long as he lives on this earth, this Christian's new man must contend with the old self.
All right.
That is so easily enticed by sin. That's why you have people and some that are still in the church that's still dealing with certain words come out of their mouth that shouldn't.
All right.
There are thoughts that come in their head that they really want to say, and sometimes they do say it. There are places that they want to go to, and they do go there, and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. That's temptation.
Amen.
The enemy brings forth temptation into your life. But the fact of it is are you going to yield to him?
Right.
Who are you going to yield yourself to? Are you going to yield yourself to God? Are you going to yield yourself to Lucifer, which is Satan? So, number one, expect temptation. Expect it. Expect it. Mm-hmm. Just like you're expecting a package from UPS to come in the mail, are you expecting for a digital download after you order something, a digital download of a movie or of an ebook that you ordered? How many are ebook readers? Okay. How many are ones that listen to music? We don't have CDs anymore, so we have to download it on phones, on our devices and things like that. So you're eagerly expecting that what you paid for, the product that you paid for, you're going to get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Would you put your money into something and not to expect to get it?
Mm-hmm.
No. You're going to be the first one yelling, doing a video that's going to go viral. Don't go and buy from Boohoo.
Mm-hmm.
Because Boohoo, you've heard of Boohoo, haven't you? It's a clothing store. But one day I bought some shoes from Boohoo. B-O-O-H-O-O. And the shoes were supposed to be in my size. I was expecting them.
Mm-hmm.
I got the shoes. I put them on. We got a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the problem is?
They're too deep.
The shoes did not fit. Guess what? I didn't know that Boohoo shipping came from the UK. So the UK and the United States shoe sizes are totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to give away what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So expect temptation. Galatians 5 and 17. Expect temptation, beloved. Expect it. You are not in a cakewalk. You're not in a cakewalk where we just put on music and march around with a cake. And when the music stops, whoever has the cake gets to take it home.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how a cakewalk goes? This is not a cakewalk. This is a wilderness experience, and we're going to go through things in this life. All right, so Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit." Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
"For your flesh lusts against the spirit."
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I never thought that my flesh would lust against, which is anti, the spirit. So that means when you see that person that's not your wife, not your husband, and your flesh is lusting after them, that's against the spirit of God. Uh-oh, you got to renew your flesh, renew your mind, renew your mindset. "For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." That's talking about there's a war inside of you.
That's right.
There's a war inside of you. You didn't know it was a war going on? That's why you can't stop cheating. That's why you're on Maury Povich. That's why you're on divorce court. Because there's a war inside of you. There's a war on the inside of you.
My God.
That's why you can't stay off of social media. Because it's a war. Your spirit wants to know what is on the tabloid of social media instead of what is written on the heart of the Lord, on His word. That ain't everybody, but that's a lot of people. So let's go back. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're at war and at odds with each other. That's what the Bible's saying. So that you do not do the things that you wish. Who are you going to serve? The flesh is as an enemy. We're called to war against the flesh, to live our lives in a tug of war as our flesh urges indulgent and the Holy Spirit constrains us to righteousness. The Holy Spirit constrains us to righteousness, unto righteousness. So for the sinful flesh, sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit which is contrary to the sinful nature. They are both in conflict with each other. There is a battle, like I said, and the old self longs to give in. The first time that you feel tempted, expect Satan to tell you, "Oh, it's no use. You can't be a Christian. Just give up. Just give in." The enemy will try to discourage you. But remember, even if you feel defeated, temptation is not sin. Even Jesus was tempted. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, if you're taking notes. Even spiritual leaders are warned to be careful that they will not be tempted and to fall into what? Sin. So just like, I don't care who it is, as big as their ministry is, as small as their ministry is, we are all tempted by the enemy.
Yes.
And we are urged in scripture not to fall in the trap.
All right.
I was teasing Bishop Buckley on the way in this morning, and I was telling him that certain environments I don't want to be in.
All right.
It doesn't have nothing to do with sin. It has to do with I have to protect my mental health. And so to be in an environment where they ridicule, where they shame, and where I have to be fake, and I can't be really who I am.
All right.
I don't need to be in that environment.
Amen.
And so just like we are tempted, we are all tempted by whatever is a doorway, has been a doorway in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, you have some people that are addicted to sex.
All right.
That just can't stay out of bed with folks. Mm-hmm. We just might as well keep it real. They can't stay out of bed with folks. That temptation was one thing, but when they opened the door and kept on, the enemy got a loophole.
Mm-hmm.
You got people that they got an issue with money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to, they know how to steal, but they don't know how to earn.
Well,
they know how to steal. They'll steal out your house. They'll come over to your house and steal out of your house. They'll come to your house, steal out of your purse, steal out of your wallet. Know how to break into your cash out and steal your money out of that. And deposit it when they get done. Deposit it, cash it out into their own account. You have people that are professional thieves. And they know how to steal. That temptation was one thing. But now it's become a milestone in the other. No one is greater than falling. Nobody is exempt from falling. Amen. Remember that. Amen. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. I don't care how long they've been in the church. I don't care how long they've been saved. I don't care how long their name have been on the roll of the local church. Nobody is exempt. But what it is the fact of we gotta die daily.
Amen.
We gotta die daily. So Galatians 6 and verse 1 is talking to spiritual leaders. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That means if Brother Jerome comes to me and tells me as a spiritual leader, look, I ain't got it together. I done murdered somebody. I done done this. I done done that. I sound like a two-year-old. As a leader in the body of Christ, because two-year-olds start off their sentences with me won't, as a spiritual leader in the body of Christ, I am supposed to minister to him in a spirit of gentleness. Somebody come in here and they got an issue with drugs, they have an issue with alcoholism, they have an issue with pornography, they have an issue with whatever it is. We as spiritual leaders are to minister to them in the spirit of gentleness. That don't you turn your nose up because that brother that came to you and told you he got an issue with keeping his pants on.
All right.
Or the sister got an issue with keeping her skirt up. Lest you fall in that same temptation.
Amen.
That same sin. It can be basically a saying, hey, preachers, it can be you. Be careful. It's giving you a warning saying, be careful. Every dog has his day. Every dog has his day. I'm not rewriting the Bible. I'm just giving you a different lens. Every dog has his day. It's telling you, hey, don't you dig a ditch for your brother.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Because you know what their sin is. Restore them in gentleness. That means be kind.
That's right.
That means don't get across this pulpit
and beat them up.
And every Sunday you preaching about their particular sin. Y'all know that happens in certain churches. Certain churches, they know that somebody is struggling in a certain area of sin. And so the pastor is up preaching every Sunday about this person's sin. And we all know who you're talking about because the eyes of the church are looking at Mother Cough Syrup over there and Deacon Bubblegum right there and Brother Popcorn right there. We all know that Brother Popcorn been sleeping with all the neighbors in the neighborhood. We know that Mother Bubblegum keeps stealing. She done stole out of the treasury. We keep on preaching about her. We're supposed to restore one with gentleness. Lest we be one that falls. I know churches where people have fallen from grace. And when the pastor, and I'm going to say this openly today, and Brother Juan already knows what I'm going to say. A lot of times as pastors and leaders, we show a lot of grace toward the members. And I'm saying this, Lamar already know what I'm going to say. But who shows grace to the pastor and the leader when they fall? You know, I remember when an international leader fell from grace. Mm-hmm. And I remember this man had a phenomenal healing ministry. Lamar, you know who I'm talking about. Traveled all throughout the Pentecostal and charismatic world. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Led the church in revival back in 2008. Look, Dad remembers who I'm talking about, the preacher with the tattoos. I met him. And thousands of people were impacted by, he had a miracle, signs and wonders, miracle ministry. During that time, the services were live streamed on God TV, wasn't it, Brother Juan? It was on God TV. And I remember we watched those services, and Bishop Buckley and I was watching. We watched the service. We would go over to my sister's house just so we could watch the service because we didn't have satellite at the time. And we didn't have no broadband internet either. So we would go over her house and sit there and cut on the TV and watch the services. And Bishop received a healing during that time. The tattoo preacher, that all he walked up to you and said, bam, and they fell out in the spirit. And I remember Bishop Buckley said, God must be doing something in the church. You got a tattoo preacher standing up, leading the whole body of Christ in revival. When that man fell from grace, the churches acted like they had never seen it. They closed the door to that man coming to minister to the churches, even to this very day. His spiritual mothers and fathers, they turned against him and everything. And some of them are going to have to answer to God, not just for the way how they treated him, but how they lied 2 years ago concerning the elections. Mm-hmm. Some of these same people were the ones that was talking about this man, discrediting him. And they're going to have to answer to God for the way that they lied about the presidential election, saying, thus saith the Lord God, and they did not repent. And some of those people, I could call their names. Some of them, I could call their names. Have sat in front of them. Have had lunch with some of these people. Right. And they are self-righteous.
Well,
when you become self-righteous, you're not gentle no more. You're a monster. You're a monster. You are a monster. You just like the monsters, that little TV show that used to come on back in the day, Monster. You are a big old monster. And instead of drawing people to Jesus Christ, you're scaring them away.
That's right.
Is somebody learning something today?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's warning us to be careful. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands. You might be standing, but you can fall. They had a saying, the bigger you are, the harder you fall.
Amen.
You can still fall.
Mm-hmm.
4 feet, 6 feet, 9 feet. 10 feet, 1 feet. You know how many feet you are? You can fall. As long as the Christian allows the Holy Spirit to lead and control him. We talked about before the Spirit-filled life. If you remember, I taught on that here at the church. The Holy Spirit to control him. He doesn't have to surrender to temptation. But when he ceases, or she ceases to rely on the Holy Spirit for his strength, the temptations of this world will be too strong. You can go to 1 John 2 and 16, read those scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 12. Hebrews 11 and 25. For the sake of time, we're going to go through these other 2 points. Satan is very deceptive.
Yes, he is.
And can make sin look really, 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 really good. Think about that. How do you know you're far from God? I'm going to say it. LaJuan, am I allowed to say it? How you know you're really far from God is when sin looks better than God does.
My God.
The mic just dropped.
Well.
So how you know that you're far from God? You're running from your call. You're running from his voice. But you're running to the pleasures of the world. Mm. Now, let me say this to you. Transparent speaking, being vulnerable. I am no different than anybody else in this room.
All right.
I've gone through times that I've asked God, I said, God, are the saints really praying for me?
Well.
Are the saints really fasting and praying for me like they should? Just like I give my all and pray for people and encourage people, I am no different than you are. Mm-hmm. Bishop Buckley can fall from grace tomorrow if he chooses to. I can fall from grace tomorrow if I choose to. Mm-hmm. Any of us can fall from grace if we choose to. But the point of it that the Holy Spirit is trying to bring to our remembrance is we got to stop yielding to temptation and start yielding to God. And if you fall, pick yourself up off the floor. As they used to say, pick yourself up off the floor. Pick up your face off the floor. Get up, repent, and turn back to God.
Amen.
But what we're not going to do is we're not going to open up Pandora's box. We're not going to open up Pandora's box and just pass around, I'm going to say it, pass around the blunt of shame. The blunt of bitterness. Mm-hmm. The blunt of, okay, you take a puff here, Brother Juan. We going to mope in this. We're not going to have a morning party over what the enemy has tempted you in and what you have yielded yourself in. Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm trying to use an analogy that we can all understand. And we can all understand the blunt, because we've all seen it passed around.
All right.
What I'm saying is, I'm not endorsing the blunt, but I'm just using a point that everybody can get along with. We're not going to pass the bottle of misery and shame. What we're going to do is we're going to get healed from it. And we're not going to spend the bottle as Christians. That's what we've done. The Christians have spent the bottle so much, and y'all been to parties where they spend the bottle. You know what happened when the bottle gets spent to you? Okay, it's your turn to do this. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that. We're going to get healed from our issues. We're going to yield to God. We're not going to yield to the devil.
Okay.
So I'm no different than you are. And Satan is cunning. He come after the head.
Amen.
He come after LaJuan. He come after me. He come after Bishop Buckley. He definitely come after Mother Buckley.
Amen.
Have her throwing stuff, throwing pots and pans and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was cooking, she would take the skillet and beat you with it, wouldn't you? No, I'm joking. No, she wouldn't. But no, I mean, Satan is crafty.
Yes,
he is. Satan is crafty. You know, I remember when my father fell from grace. And the saints wasn't too nice. We see Bishop, we see Elder Buckley down in such and such that Pete's lounge, Pete's patch, I mean Pete's place. And what he doing down there? He's supposed to be in the pulpit preaching the word of God. I heard all of that. I heard it. I just didn't respond.
All right.
Because I knew God told me, he said, restore, walk in gentleness. My father was going up in that club, security guard, and being a bouncer, I was praying, God, take his tail up out of here. God, bring him out. God, and I had to still be a son. I didn't like it. My daddy was in the biggest club in Kansas City, being a security guard and a bouncer. I didn't like it. I knew he was called to preach, and he had been preaching all these days. He had never done that. I would rather him have went to Skate King in St. Louis than to sit and go skating on Sunday nights. That was what he did for his self-care. I didn't want him up in no club, being no bouncer, carrying a gun. I had to think about it every night. My dad may not come home.
All right.
Ooh, Jesus. Carrying a knife and a gun. And so I had to think about that.
All right.
And I said, Lord, I had to restore him in gentleness. And I told him, I said, God gonna bring you out of there. But I'm not gonna judge. I'm just gonna restore you and keep on praying.
Come on.
And fasting for you. Okay, we got to the devil. Know your weak points, y'all. Know your weak points. If you got issues, you know, we need to talk about these things, because there's going to be people that come through our doors that are going to have SSA. What is SSA? I thought that was Social Security Administration.
I do too.
SSA, same sex attraction. We're going to have people that are going to have issues with SSA. How you going to minister to them? Don't get up in the pulpit talking about, I can't stand faggots, I can't stand sissies.
All right now.
I can't stand this, can't stand that. Don't be like Mother Kelly from Church of God in Christ. Every time she get up, she got a prophecy, tell somebody they're a sissy or a fag. No. We got to restore people.
Amen.
We got to love people. We got to preach the truth, but we got to love people. Mm-hmm. Dealing with that. We're going to know your weak points. Each one of us got a weak point. We know if we get down to the lowest place, what's going to happen. If you get around that right company of people, you know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to say if the Lord, if you yield. You know. LaJuan knows. He can't go to a whole lot of social events. He knows what kind of social events he can go to. Because he knows if he go to a certain social event, he can't crucify his flesh. Am I right, Prophet Lamar?
Oh, you right.
I know the same thing. I don't go to everything because I know what will tempt me.
All right.
So know your weakness. Know your weakness. So you won't be standing up testifying, talking about the devil did this. No, the devil didn't do that. You did it. You knew you wasn't supposed to walk up in that place, and you walked up in there anyway. So you ended up in the bed with somebody. You ended up doing what you did. You ended up stealing. You ended up cheating. You ended up lying. You ended up doing all these things that were the work of the flesh. So know your temptations. But remember, temptations are harmless unless you give in to them. In fact, they will make you strong. Make you strong Christians as you exercise your new life in Christ Jesus. Rely on Jesus to help you to overcome.
Okay.
We used to sing a song. Some of you, Sister Freeman remember, Brother Warren remember. We used to sing, you have turned my morning into dancing. You remember that song, don't you? You have turned my sorrows into joy, this is how we overcome. Well, it's more than just dancing to it.
Amen.
Yeah. We got to take this as a reality.
Yeah.
Okay, last couple points. How will Satan tempt you? James chapter 1, verse 14. Through things that you already desire. Source is man himself. God is never the source of temptation. Testing of character comes from God, Genesis 22 and 1. But temptation to evil never comes from him, but from Satan. through our own corrupt natures. We are tempted to meet a proper desire in an improper way through enticement. How many have been enticed? I have. I have been enticed.
All right.
And have I given in? Sometimes yes.
All right now.
Sometimes yes, I'm not proud of it. Sometimes yes, I have given in. Old sinful natures and desires, friends. How many have those friends? You get with them, and it seems like the best is supposed to come out of you, but the worst comes out of you. All those sinful habits and desires. It's like I get around this person, and I just can't stop doing what I'm doing. Because the people that the company that we're keeping, places that you used to go, past memories. See, the mind is its own battlefield. The mind is its own battlefield. Something's not Satan, it's the mind, it's the battlefield of the mind.
All right.
And you can read Proverbs 1 and 10. Proverbs 4 and 14, Psalms 119 and verse 63, Proverbs 23, Romans 13, verse 14, Ephesians 4 and 27. This will all be on the replay. 2 Timothy 2 and 22, 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. Joseph is a very good example.
Yes, he is.
But also, those sins of the flesh that include laziness, greed, selfishness, wrath. I've had some of those moments where I've been very wrathful.
Okay.
Hatred, and etc. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've been tempted to even hate some people right up in the church. And the Lord had to just really deal with me. Because there were some people that are in the church that I couldn't stand their guts. And Bishop knew I couldn't stand them. Some of the people that I'm accountable knew I could not stand them. And I was saying, God, I can't stand these people. I know they in your house. But I can't stand it. How many have ever been there?
Yes.
There are family members that when I see them coming, I'm like, oh, God, help me not to say the wrong word. When they come to me with something that is sarcastic, something that's disrespectful, God, they throw shade whenever we get together. But family get together and say, God, I'm just asking you, help me, help my mouth to say shut. Because I know that if I say something, something's going to pop off. If they say something to me, something's going to pop off. So I've had to ask God to help me with that. How do we overcome temptation? Jesus met temptation with the word. Matthew 4 and 4. We're going to go there quickly. I know this is a teaching. This is a whole class. Matthew 4 and 4. But we need to hear this because the word of God is what's going to sustain us in the end. Matthew 4 and 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Ephesians 6 and 17. Psalms 119, 9 and verse 11. When Satan tempts you, don't argue, y'all. Just give him the word of God. Jesus overcame just as we are to overcome by prayer and knowledge of the Bible. So when temptation comes, the best challenge is know the word. You're not going to be a part of no army And you don't know how to use your weapons.
All right now.
You don't know how to use your tools. So in the army of the Lord, we got to know how to use our tools. And our tools are prayer. Our tools is fasting. Our tools is worship. Our tools is praise. Our tools is self-deliverance.
Self-deliverance. All right.
Getting delivered from chains and distractions of the enemy. So that's where we at, y'all. Amen. That's where we at, y'all. So James 4:7, submit yourself to God. What does that mean? To surrender your will to God. Mm-hmm. There must be a personal relationship to Him. This comes first. Acknowledge that Jesus lives in you. Jesus never faced, you never face temptation alone. When Satan knocks, send Jesus to the door, and Satan will run.
Yes,
resist the devil. Learn to say no. Order Satan to get away from you upon the authority of God's word. Other times, it may be wise just to flee the temptation to escape. Our Lord promises us victory in temptation. And the last couple things is you will never face unusual tests, but only those that all men have.
Amen.
You know, you have Mother Cottonball. Evangelist David Paul, radio evangelist from up in the East Coast, he would say, I'm so sick of these Pentecostal peacocks that, you know, they come to church and they got their little sprout on the back and it just comes out and they feathers just come out and they've never done, as Pastor Sarah White used to say, I've never done no wrong. I ain't never done nothing wrong. Yeah. And so you have those people, Pastor Sarah. And Pastor David Paul talked about the Pentecostal peacock that feel like they've never been tempted. They've never been tested. They never do nothing wrong. But God is faithful and keeps His promises. The test will not be more than you are able to meet, no matter how severe. God will always provide a way of escape.
Yes, He will.
Christ will help us when we are tempted because He was also tempted. Mm-hmm. But what if we fail? We have a promise. Confess your sins.
Right.
Ask God for forgiveness. Then thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin. After you have confessed your sin, do not allow Satan to make you feel guilty by reminding you of it. Questions to answer at the conclusion. Who is your principal enemy? Who's your principal enemy? Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:8. We're going to find out who your principal enemy is. 1 Peter 5:8. Who is your prince enemy? Primary enemy. First Peter 5:8. Okay, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. So it's the devil is your principal enemy. If Jesus met temptation by quoting scripture, how can you prepare to live out His example? How you gonna live this out? Anybody? How you going to live this out? If Jesus was tempted and He used the word, what are you going to use?
The word.
The word, okay? And then last question. And when you go home today, I want you to make a list for yourself of the good and bad desires that Satan might use to tempt you. You don't have to, don't bring it back to church. We don't want to see it. But you can go 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. You can use that to get your, to help you with that. Was this a helpful message? Now I want you to turn your cards over. The devil knows your address. So, at my address, my card says stealing.
I don't know what this is.
Murder.
Oh, that's murder?
Uh-huh. I didn't take my time and write it out. Okay, yours says what? Lust. Okay. Lust. Yours?
Suicide.
Suicide. All right. The devil knows our address and he knows where we are tempted. So don't ever think that you are better than anybody else, because you